Greetings, and welcome to Worship with Weston United Methodist Church. My name is Nick Deitman, and I serve on the hospitality team. It is a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Greetings, my friends. It's my joy to welcome you to this time of worship with West End United Methodist Church. I am especially joyful and glad to be welcoming some people into the sanctuary. We have our confirmation class with us this morning and their families, and we are going to be celebrating this time of confirmation with all of you. And it's a wonderful time for all of us in the congregation. And I just wanted to make sure and point out to you as we gather for worship that we invite you to create some worship space in your own home by lighting a candle, to bringing a Bible into your worship space. If you have a hymnal, to bring that along. We have along the live stream opportunities to participate in worship. There's a link for you there now, I hope, to register your attendance and let us know that you were here. All of you who are here for confirmation have already registered when you signed up and let us know you were going to be able to be here, so you've done that already. There are links for the hymns, for opportunities to share prayer concerns, to give, to make your offerings, and of course during the passing of the peace we invite you to greet one another and to send a text or make a comment or find some way to share peace with one another. We are thrilled to be able to celebrate confirmation with those of you who are here this morning, and I look forward to sharing this moment with all of you and your families that you've worked so hard for. So thank you for being here. One other announcement. Today we say goodbye to Rachel Turns, who has been our intern in youth ministry for 2 years now. She is a beloved leader in our youth ministry, and we are sad to see her go as she goes on to pursue other work in ministry in our community. But all youth are invited tonight to gather in the parking lot at 5 o'clock. We'll be there from 5 to 6:30 to play outdoor games. We'll be remaining physically distant and ask that everyone wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. And at the same time, we are going to have a wonderful time celebrating Rachel and seeing each other face to face. And now, as we continue in a spirit of worship, let us open our hearts and minds to hear the good news as proclaimed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans. Let us worship together.
Holy God, we come to worship this day seeking good news. Nothing can separate us from your love. No one can separate us from your love.
Not even angels, rulers, or powers of this world.
No time or space can separate us from your love. We are loved by you, no matter what. Amen. Let us come now before God with our confessions, trusting that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. God of abundant love, we confess that we often doubt your love for us. We struggle to see your hope in the midst of such global despair. We forget that you are for us, O God, not against us. When we lack eloquent words, we question that you hear our prayers. Still, we cry out to you in our sighs, our groans, and even our silence. Remind us that your Spirit knows our hearts and hears what we struggle to say. Renew our assurance in your presence. Confirm us in your unending love. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And if you are viewing from home right now, you may want to send messages of love and Christian greeting by using the comments section or by texting those that are dear to you. The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 19 and verses 24 through 39. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows that what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up all for us, will he not also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ in our Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Now that you all have finished confirmation, you're too old to come up for the children's message. So I'm going to have to invite all of the children who are home to move a little closer to your screens for a special moment together. What we have just heard is part of a letter that was written by a man named Paul to people in a church in Rome. I love getting letters. And so this is what I imagine the letter looked like. Paul wrote his letter, put it in an envelope, and gave it to someone to run to Rome and send this letter to the church. And it's a long letter, and Paul talks about all sorts of different things. But at the heart of his letter, this is what Paul wants the church in Rome to know. God loves you. And that part that Samuel just read for us says it more beautifully than almost anywhere else I've ever heard it in all the world. There is nothing that will ever separate you from God's love. No matter what you do, no matter what happens in our world or happens in our lives, no matter what, God will never stop loving you. And that is the best news of all. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much for the letter that Paul wrote 2,000 years ago that we still get to read today. We thank you for the simple message that all of us can understand. There's nothing we can do that will make you love us any less or any more than you already do. You love us completely and fully, and nothing will ever change that. Thank you so much, God, for loving us. And help us to be letters to the world, sharing that same message of your love to everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I may need to go put this letter in the mailbox and mail it to somebody who needs to hear it. Well, if you've been worshiping with us this summer through the website, through the live stream, you know that we've been doing a sermon series called Family Matters. We've been making our way slowly through the book of Genesis and hearing all about this special family that God called for a special purpose. It started with Abraham. God called Abraham and Sarah. And then God called their son Isaac and his wife Rebekah, and they had Jacob and Esau, and God was shaping a people for God's purposes, to show the world who God is. But we have to admit, if we've been reading along with these stories this summer, that some of them are a little hard to read. We've been reading a lot about dysfunctional families and people who don't behave very well and people who don't treat each other very well and how God works through them anyway. They're all stories that point to God's goodness and God's power, but it's been a little heavy lately reading about how all of these different people misbehaved in different ways. And so the story that we were going to be working with this morning was a particularly difficult one where tricky Uncle Laban gets brought into the scene, and there's all this stuff that goes on, which I would encourage you to go home and read on your own, because any scripture has things to teach us about God and about ourselves. But doggone it, it's Confirmation Sunday, and I didn't want to do that to you guys. After all the time that you have put in to this journey of confirmation, being here every Sunday morning in Sunday school and learning and studying together and the service that you've done out in the community together, the things you've experienced on retreats and visiting other faith traditions, and then to have that confirmation postponed because of the coronavirus, having a lot of things in life postponed, I thought that today there might be a different word for you, that we might need to set aside tricky Uncle Laban and Jacob and Leah and Rachel and that whole story so that we could hear one of the great treasures in all of Scripture. I have certain Bible verses, certain parables, certain psalms that I go to again and again in my life when I need to hear a special word from God. It's like this little treasure box that I have, and sometimes I go to Psalm 139. Sometimes it's Psalm 121. Sometimes it's the Sermon on the Mount, or one of Jesus' parables, the prodigal son in Luke 15. But one of my greatest treasures in all of Scripture that I return to again and again and again is the 8th chapter of Romans. It is a gift that keeps on giving. So as all of you continue on your faith journey, and as all of us who are worshiping together are continuing on our own faith journey, I invite us all this morning to open up this box of treasures and to see what Paul has to say to us. I mean, there are so many verses that are familiar to us, so many beautiful treasures that we can hold on to in the words that Samuel just read. And he didn't even read the whole chapter. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. If God is for us, who is against us? And then perhaps the most reassuring of all, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I offer this to you today as a gift to take with you on your journey. And the little treasure that I want to examine a little more deeply to help open this up for all of us is that one word that you spent some time with in confirmation and that many of us may have learned about and heard about in confirmation and other times, but we might need a refresher course on it. And the word is justified. Paul says to the church in Rome that you have been justified by God. That sounds like a big theological word, but the word justified means to be made right. You know, when you take a paragraph on your computer and you hit justify the margins, that it makes it so the margins are straight and perfect. It makes it right. And Paul is saying that God has made everything right between us. We human beings turn away from God. We fail to love as God loves us. We fail to love other people. We confess every Sunday when we gather for worship. We have a prayer of confession that from one angle or another, we admit to God how we have fallen short. But God has already forgiven us and already made everything right between us by coming to be one of us in Jesus, by living alongside of us the perfect life, by even dying our death and being raised again. God has experienced everything we human beings could possibly experience and has redeemed it for us. So God has said to us, you are already beloved. You are already forgiven. You are already mine. All is right between us. That's what it means to be justified. Now, one of the things that our confirmands learned in confirmation, and that many of us learned from John Wesley, the great founder of the Methodist movement, is that there are different movements of grace that we receive from God. Now, I'm not going to quiz y'all on this, so don't worry. But the first movement that John Wesley talks about is prevenient grace, this grace that it goes before us. Even as we're born into the world, we are loved by God, we're surrounded by God's grace and love, and God's Spirit is leading us closer and closer to God, drawing us in. Then we are justified by God's justifying grace given to us through Jesus Christ, and we are made right with God. But then there's a third movement of grace that John Wesley talks about, and that is sanctifying grace. That grace that works in us throughout our lives, that we cooperate with through prayer and scripture and worship and serving and being among and with the poor and the marginalized, and all of those ways that God shapes us more into God's likeness and deepens us in love with God and with our neighbor. So hold that in your mind as we get back to this letter of Paul to the Romans. He announces in many different ways that God's given us an unbreakable vow, that God has made a promise to us that God will never forsake, and that is that we belong to God, we are beloved by God, we are made right by God, and nothing we can ever do will separate us from God's love. And that's all God's doing. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we have proved ourselves and we earn it by all the good things we do. It's already true. It's already there. And our job is to believe it's true, to accept that it's true. And that's part of what you do when you're confirmed. In a minute, you're going to say, I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. I accept what God has done for me. I believe that God really does love me unconditionally and always will, and nothing will ever change that. You'll say it today. But if you're like me, and maybe some of the other grown-ups in the room, and maybe some of you other grown-ups who are worshiping with us, it's something we have to say and learn and remember and reaffirm over and over and over again. It's easy for us to fall into these patterns where we forget that we are beloved, or we start trying to prove ourselves to God and others, where we feel broken and unworthy. And so we have to be reminded again and again and again that nothing will ever separate us from God's love. That's one reason I love my job so much. And I hope that maybe one of you, maybe more than one of you, will feel a call into this kind of ministry in the future. Because I get to proclaim on Sunday mornings and in conversations with people, I get to remind you that you are God's beloved, you always have been, and you always will be. And I also have to do that work every day to believe it and trust it for myself. That's part of what church is about. That's part of our calling in life, is to remind each other of how beautifully beloved we are. So our first response and our ongoing response is to accept it and believe it. And then to allow ourselves to be changed and transformed by that unconditional love, so that we go out into the world as a letter from God announcing to the world, God loves you. God has already forgiven and received and accepted you. There's a verse in this letter where Paul says, all of creation is waiting and groaning for the children of God to be revealed. Our world is deeply in need of people who know their own belovedness, of people who are grounded in the love and mercy and compassion and grace of God. So much so that they can go out into the world and set people free and remind them of their belovedness and be kind and compassionate and be that letter from God that says simply, God loves you. So for those who are being confirmed, I cannot wait to see how God works through you to spread that good news in the world. And to all of us who are worshiping today, a reminder that I hope you receive each and every Sunday, each and every time you open the scriptures, God loves you. And there's nothing that will ever change that. May all of us hear the invitation to receive that love and let it change us, that we might be that love for our world. Amen.
As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral prayer team, we pray throughout the week. You can follow the link on the website or in the comments on the live stream. We offer our sympathy to Trent Hammer and his family in the death of his father, Everett Hammer, who passed away on July 20th. No public services are planned at this time. We also offer our condolences to Sam Young and his family who are mourning the death of his sister, Joyce Cornett, who died July 17th in Cincinnati, Ohio. We pray today for the friends and family of Reverend Judy Lower, who passed away this week. Plans for her service are still pending. Prepare us now, loving God, for a time of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love, we give you thanks this morning for the opportunity to gather in worship, to celebrate these confirmands and their families, their friends in faith, and our whole church community. We give thanks that you are always with us, that nothing can separate us from your love. Not pandemics, not racism, not grief, not economic hardship, not illness, not fear or anxiety, nor many of the challenges we face in our world today. We hope in you because we know that you have vowed to love us always, to be with us always. Holy Spirit, we thank you for interceding on our behalf. Sometimes we have no words to describe how we are feeling, no way to give voice to our thoughts in prayer, and in those moments, you pray for us. As we enter a moment of silence, we remember that no prayer is too small, no prayer is too large for you, O God. And we lift them all up to you and trust that you know what is on our hearts and minds and that you love and care for us. We lift all these and more in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue its vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail a check to the church. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply these gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Confirmation. And at this time, I invite our confirmands to make their way forward to the altar rail, and I present this morning Peter Robert Bigelow, William Robert Gerken, Robert Brandt Harrell Jr., Annalise Catherine Rudolph, Miles Everett Watson, and Samuel Montgomery Wilson for confirmation. Families, y'all are invited to come forward and stand with them as well.
We shared with these confirmands that our congregation is worshiping with us this morning, as well as many guests, and that you take this moment seriously and take your vows from home as they take their vows in the sanctuary, and we feel your presence with us. And so I say to all of us in the family of Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so, to those of you who are here to be confirmed, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. And according to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If so, say, I will.
And now to the members of the congregation and family members present, I ask, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Holy God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and each one here who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. Amen.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the affirmation of faith written by this year's confirmation class.
We believe God is love, and God will guide you during times of joy and times of sadness. We believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and we will follow him to the ends of the earth. We believe the Holy Spirit is within us in life, in death, and life beyond death. We believe worship is coming together as one to celebrate God's presence. We believe that when you are baptized, you are marked as a child of God and show your loyalty to God. We believe Holy Communion makes Jesus part of you, because when you drink the wine, it is the blood of Christ, and when you eat the bread, it is the body of Christ. We believe we are called to treat all equally with love and kindness. We believe we love and serve our neighbors because it is the right thing to do. And we do this by offering free food, shelter, clothes, and a helping hand. We believe that being a part of the church means to be loyal to our faith
and supporting others in their journeys of faith.
Peter Robert Bigelow, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
William Robert Gherkin, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen.
Robert Brandt, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Annalise Catherine, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
Miles Everett Watson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And if you all would like to lay hands on him. Miles, I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen.
Samuel Montgomery, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
I'll now ask those of you who've been confirmed to stand. And now I ask you these questions as you join and become members of the United Methodist Church and of this congregation. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. As members of this congregation at West End United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will.
A stole is a symbol that a person is yoked to Christ. The confirmation stole is a symbol that these students have made a profession of faith and are yoked to Christ. The confirmands have decorated their stoles with symbols of God, scripture, people who have influenced their faith, and more, to help them remember God's love for them and their call as disciples to follow Jesus. Parents, if you would place the stole on your confirmand's shoulders at this time.
And now I invite all of you confirmands to turn, and if your parents will come and move behind you so that those who are participating in worship and live stream can see you and your beautiful faces. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church
by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. This time of worship, renewed and reminded that we, each one of us, are beloved children of God. And may we go to be letters to the world announcing that love to all. Amen.